So let's turn in our Bibles to our scripture reading today. And we're going back to the book of Galatians. Been spending a lot of time there. And we're at the end of chapter 5 here. So let's go to chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 22 through 25. So if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Again, I read out of an NASB translation. I will have the words up here. These are the words of the Apostle Paul in this letter to the Galatians as inspired by the Holy Spirit, starting with verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. We'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, once again, just great words from this great book of Galatians. As your servant Paul was writing this letter to those people, Father, there are truths here that we need to learn and we need to understand. Father, reveal those truths to us today through your scriptures. We give you praise for what we're going to learn today. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today we're going to continue in our expository study of the book of Galatians, and this is message number 41, and I've titled today's message, Walk by the Spirit, the exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in verse number 25. Last week we were introduced to the fruit of the Spirit, and let's see if I can do these. I memorized them this week. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Nailed it. Yes. That's a good list to memorize. There's 9 of them. It's a good list to memorize. This fruit is what the Christian must exhibit in his or her walk with Jesus Christ. This fruit, again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's not a should we, it's yeah, we ought to be doing this. And let's be honest. We need to be honest with ourselves. We know we exhibit some of this fruit better than some of the other ones. Therefore, we always know that there's room to grow in one of those 9 or maybe several of those 9. Okay, so we're going to say to ourselves, I want to exhibit more fruit in my Christian walk. I want to crucify the flesh. And let's face it, if we're doing one, we're also doing the other. If we're walking by the Spirit, we are also crucifying the flesh. Last week we talked about crucifying the flesh. So if we want to exhibit more fruit in our lives, if that is you and if that's me, what steps can we take to accomplish this? Some of us might be struggling with some kind of ongoing sin issue that we know it's wrong to do it, but we just can't seem to get this sin out of our lives. We just can't seem to get past it, and we just can't seem to allow the Holy Spirit to have victory in our lives. Well, this morning, we're going to get very practical. We're going to get more practical than what we are theological. And I'm going to give us some practical steps that we can take to crucify the flesh and walk victoriously in the Spirit. Now, the 6 that I'm going to put up there, there's going to be some overlap in these things, but there's going to be 6 steps that I'm going to put up there. They're the 6 fill-in-the-blanks that are in your bulletin. So here we go. Let's start with how do we walk by the Spirit, which when we walk by the Spirit will help us crucify the flesh. Well, let's start here. Let's start with number one. Examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? This is the place we need to start if we're going to walk by the Spirit. We need to ask ourselves some basic questions. Are we truly believers in Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior or not? Are you in the faith, or could you possibly be self-deceived? It's impossible to be victorious over the deeds of the flesh and to walk by the Spirit if a person is not a true believer. An unbeliever can never walk by the Spirit because the unbeliever does not have the Holy Spirit. So therefore, they will never be able to crucify the flesh and get beyond the deeds of the flesh. So, step number one, we need to examine ourselves. And just a follow-up for that, I'm going to put up here Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13, which says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So salvation is just a prayer away, so to speak. Just call on the name of the Lord and we will be saved. So step number one, we need to examine ourselves. Are we really believers or not? So let's get that one out of the way. Number two, read your Bible. Remember, these are steps in how we can walk by the Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture is inspired. All scripture. So the question that I have actually in your bulletin that I'm going to ask all of us, does this book really have the ultimate authority in our lives? If it does, then we will do what it says, even the verses we might not agree with. We know that righteousness and walking by the Spirit are synonymous. So when we read this book, which is inspired by God Himself, it will help us achieve that goal of walking in the Spirit. So what, just as practical suggestions, a daily reading schedule, read your Bible some on a daily basis, maybe when you get up or before you go to bed, some kind of devotions, things like that, or attending a Bible study. These are things that can help us read our Bible. To follow up with that, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the hearts. Let me kind of paraphrase that in a rather silly little way. The word of God can get into all those tiny little nooks and crannies into our lives and help us walk by the Spirit. Those places we never think of, the word of God can get in there and do the work in us that we cannot do for ourselves. So number one, we examine ourselves. Number two, we read our Bibles. Number three, we repent. Number three, what does Luke chapter 3 verse 8 say? These are the words of John the Baptist. He says this, therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. So the question I'm going to ask, and again these questions are in our bulletin, is how do we view sin? There's our question for the word repentance. For the true believer, repentance is a change of mind of how we view our sin, how we view sin in general. We recognize sin for what it is, and we no longer desire its presence in our lives. We abhor the deeds of the flesh. We repent. We look at sin in a different way. So let's look at a follow-up verse, and these are the words of Jesus from Luke 13, verse 3. Jesus says this, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he says this exact line in verse number 5. Jesus makes it pretty straightforward that if a person confesses to be a believer, like us, and does not change their view of sin, like these people did there, they're going to perish. Not my words, Jesus' words. And this gets back to step number one, that we need to examine ourselves, make sure that we're right and in the faith. So the steps to walk by the Spirit, number one, we examine ourselves. Number two, we read our Bible. And number three, we repent of sin. So what is our fourth step that we come up with? P, we pray. We pray. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Paul says this to the Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The question that we're going to ask, based on this fourth word here, pray, is this. Do we truly desire victory over our sin? If we really want to walk by the Spirit, then we will pray to the Lord that He takes away our desires for the deeds of the flesh. Do we desire victory over those things? Or do we sometimes really kind of just like hanging on to them? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, pray without ceasing. I promise you this, when we are praying, we are not sinning. When we are praying, we are walking by the Spirit and not by the deeds of the flesh. So, what do we have so far? Number one, we are going to do what? What's number one? You got it in your bulletin. I've forgotten it already. What is it? Number one. We're going to examine ourselves. Number two, we're going to do what? We're going to read our Bibles. Number three, we're going to repent. And number four, we're going to pray. And number five, this is an unusual word. You're going to say, Mike, where'd you get this word from? And I'll tell you where I got it. Number five, we're going to escape. You say, oh my goodness, what do you mean by escape? 1 Corinthians 10:13, one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape. Also, so that you will be able to endure it. So the question I'm going to ask is this. Do we take God's way out when we are being tempted? Because He says He always provides a way out. And remember this, my friends. Temptation in itself is not a sin. It's what we do and how we respond to that temptation that could be sinful. Temptation, I promise you, temptation will happen. It's going to happen to you today. It's going to happen to you tomorrow. It's going to happen to you next week. And it's easy to follow the path of unrighteousness. Because sometimes sin is fun, isn't it? Sometimes it is. But there will always be a direction that we can take to overcome our sin and to be able to walk by the Spirit. I'm going to follow up this with this, these words from Jesus from Mark chapter 9, verses 43 and 44. Jesus says this, "If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Now we know that Jesus is speaking figuratively. He does not mean that we actually cut our hands off. We all know that and understand that. But let me give you a few other practical suggestions of what Jesus is saying here. How about this? If HBO causes you to sin, then get rid of it and save $15 a month. If that charge card of yours causes you to sin, cut it up and quit using it. If your job causes you to sin and the people around you in your job, find another job. I see help wanted signs every place I go today. If your possessions are becoming your God, then it's time to put aside those possessions, put them on eBay, and get rid of them and sell them or give them away if they are becoming a God in your life. If your friends cause you to sin, it's time you find yourself some new friends. That's what Jesus is saying. He always provides a way out. And I'm going to get back to the job thing because that was probably the one that's kind of... finding another job isn't that easy. I promise you that if you're going to quit your job because you'd rather follow the path of God, God will take you exactly where you need to be. That's His promise. Number six. So we're going to examine ourselves. We're going to read our Bibles. We're going to repent. We're going to pray. We are going to escape, provided. And number six, I think this is such a good one. Number six, what are we going to do? It begins with R. We're going to remember. We're going to remember. And the question that I have there in your bulletin is this. Is God still our first love? What does he say in this letter to the church at Ephesus from Revelation chapter 2, verse 5? He says this, "Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." To remember. I don't know about you, but do we remember how excited we were when we first received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Be that 10 years ago, 50 years ago, whenever that was. We were brand new believers in the Lord. When I first became a believer back in 1994, I still remember those first weeks, months, years. I thought I was invincible. I was on fire for the Lord. And then Satan, he has his little thermostat there, and he just cranked that thing up there a little bit. And he says, "Oh no, you're not going to have it like this." And he turns up the heat. And he continues to turn up the heat. And sometimes we just take this thing for granted now, and we're not as excited as what we used to be. It's what I call the salvation honeymoon. We first get saved and we're on fire and we want to share the gospel with everybody and anybody, and we'll just talk to anybody about what the Lord has done in my life. The salvation honeymoon. Folks, we need to remember the salvation honeymoon. What it was like back when us and Jesus, we were like that and we were inseparable. It's like that new toy we get at Christmas. We unwrap it. It's what we've always wanted. And we play with it that first day and the next day and maybe the third day. And then it goes in the closet and oh, we might bring it out next year. And all of a sudden the novelty has worn off. Folks, we can't let the novelty of our salvation ever wear off. We always need to remember from where we have fallen. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Right before this, in verses 9 and 10, Paul gives a laundry list of the deeds of the flesh. And then he says this, such were, past tense, such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. We must remember what we were delivered from. All of us, at one point in time, we all deserved hell. That was our destination. That's where we were all going. But sin, now that we are believers, sin will never, ever, ever be held against His elect, those who have been chosen by God. And when we look at our salvation from a Calvinist point of view like I do, why would He ever adopt a person like me into His family? I don't understand that. I need to remember that once upon a time, I was bound for destination hell. And now, I've been washed. I've been justified. I'm being sanctified. I need to remember that. I need to remember what I used to be. Remembering should bring every born again believer to his or her knees in thanksgiving. Lord, look what you have done in my life. On one hand, we cannot be like the quietist. What is a quietist? The quietist would say this, who said, well, God will take care of my sinful situation. They will say this, I'll just let go and let God take care of all of my problems. On the other hand, you have these people called the pietist. And the pietist says this, well, don't worry, I'll fix all of my own problems. I'll take care of it myself. And my advice to the pietist is this, oh, no, you can't. The solution is going to be what? It's going to be a balance of the two. It's going to take some human effort. Yeah, there's going to be some work on our part, things that we need to do. And there's going to be work from God's grace. We're going to have to balance the two. And the one word that I think needs to be in our vocabulary a whole lot more is this word right here. I don't have it up or on the screen. I'll just tell it to you. It'll be easy to remember. It's the word? No. No. Satan's going to say, Mike. You know you want to go there, don't you? But God always provides an escape, a way out. And sometimes that escape is as easy as no. Sorry, Satan. Ain't going there today. The solution is a lot between human effort and God's grace. So, do we want to crucify the flesh and walk by the Spirit? Let's keep these six words handy. We examine ourselves. We read our Bible. We repent. We pray. We escape. And the one that I like the most is number six. We remember. We remember what God has done in our lives. Whenever He did that. Whenever He changed us from this old creature to a new creation of Christ. And we remember what we could be had he not intervened. We need to practice these six things. We need to make these six line items a lifestyle. Galatians 5:25, and you'll notice last week we talked about verses 22 through 24. I added 25 to this week's reading. Galatians 25 says this: if we live by the Spirit, and if we are true born-again believers, we pass test number one. We have examined ourselves. Yes, we are in the faith. It says this: let us also walk by the Spirit. And there's a good way to do all that. Your practical lesson for today. Let's go to God in prayer.